flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We are brought to you by the Mercado Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andre Matt, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. A lot going on. Obviously, we'll dive into some football so we can talk about the Husker, solve the problems for Fred before we go. We're going to call Fred on three-way. Is three-way even a thing anymore? I don't even tell you.
I think you can do multiple different phones.
Yeah, you can do like four, right? Yeah,
I think so.
We'll call three-way. Anyway, that was a big deal back in the day. Hold on. Don't hang up. You know what I mean? But before that, we'll talk about some Husker news. Obviously, you know, we got Pritchett, the big tackle, and school has officially started. So everybody's worried about who we have and who we don't have. And the New Mexico State tackle decided to go to University of Kentucky, oddly enough, which is weird. And so everybody's worried about, you know, Ohio State had Fitzgerald, their tackle, came or went in the portal. So everybody thinks, well, just because he was on that team, we need to go get him. And sometimes you can just overlook maybe the guys that maybe they have quiet confidence in on their team, and in particular, you know, Gunnar Gatula. So if it was me, now this is, I'm not saying as a coach, I'm saying if I was a player. And if I'm Gunnar Gatula, let's just a pretty safe assumption that Pritchard's going to start. I'm assuming at right tackle, right? Because I think Pete was supposed to be a left tackle,
yeah,
a young man from that's at Kentucky now. So last left tackle that started here was 77. That's how I'm preparing. And I don't know Gunner. I don't have any type of, you know, direct connection to him. But if I would talk to him, I would have told him when the season ended, get healthy and refreshed. I'm going straight back to work. I would be a different Gunnar Gatula moving forward, assuming there's nobody out there that they're going to come in and essentially their contract is going to guarantee them the first right, you know, the first rights to starting. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It'd be hella high water before you get me on that lineup.
You're not going to find many starters in the portal now, and
well,
especially after the spring window.
Well, let's check.
Especially on the offensive line, right? Think about what Pete got with some of the Michigan guys that have transferred have gotten. Mm-hmm. Isaiah World guy as well. They're not available all that often, and they're not cheap. I wouldn't be shocked to see Nebraska give Pritchett a shot on the left side.
Okay.
You know,
I'll play right then.
That's fine. Either way, you're walking around like you're one of the starting tackles, and maybe they don't mess with it. They keep Pritchett on the right because he had some pretty good success there at Alabama. So, hey, keep the guy comfortable. That's all fine. So, yeah, if you're Gunnar Gatula, how do you walk that fine line of carrying yourself like the starting left tackle at Nebraska, but staying motivated, not coasting? Right, just because it's going to be hard for them to find someone. There are other guys on the roster who want to take your spot, right? Just because you started the last few games last year doesn't mean you've made it. You got to get better. You got to be a difference maker and let us know your name for a good reason, not just, oh, yeah, he filled in admirably, and that's the peak of Gunnar Gatula's career.
Oh, Austin, I mean, I'm not how I'm walking around. Oh, it's on.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm never going to forget that you were trying to replace me.
There's that.
No, I'm never going to forget that. I can forgive you. And actually, I got to respect it, right? Because ultimately, you got to take care of business. And so it's a business now. And so I'm thinking my whole mindset is different. I'm looking at right here at the portal, right? Isaiah World was on campus. Now, as much as everybody's up in arms and Nebraska wasn't able to get every single top player out there, they at least came to campus. Now, I don't know if they were doing it to kind of up the juice other places, but I know that Nebraska was definitely truly in the mix for Isaiah World and Fiale Famo. I know I just butchered his name. because, you know, just side note, I heard little Nick Sainer talking about, you know, he's all on Kirk Herb Street, you know what, just swinging from the trees on Kirk Herb Street and all this stuff, and talking about, he has guys that don't pronounce the word. Well, Nick, look, let me let you know something, Nick, because I know he's in baseball right now. Mm-hmm. So I just want everybody to know that. Look, Nick, it's a new age. There's going to be slang on TV. There's going to be more relaxed. So you at Pius the 10th, right? Or Pius X. That's what they want, right? Pius mm-hmm. X. Need to get with it. No, I'm just kidding. So then they get Elijah Pritchard, who, according to this, is the number four tackle.
Pretty good.
Then you have your guy, like, dudes I never heard of, Monroe Mills, Phillip Daniels, who I do know. I actually not played against his dad. His dad was in the NFL for a long time. Daniel King, who went to North Carolina. Bill Belichick came by the way of Troy, right? Mm. So you can find guys everywhere. Mason Murphy went from USC, who we saw up close and personal, to Auburn. Dang, Auburn got both of them. Auburn said we locking it down. 6'7", 333, and 6'5", 315. They're going to be trying to move some
people. Hey.
Auburn said, we back. Well, then also, let's not forget, Kentucky got two tackles, too. They got Alex Worshlinger from Bowling Green, and then they just got your boy Pete, Shize Pete. So, you know, like when you go and I'm looking at all these guys here, and you and like you said, you know, where could you go and get him another tackle? If I'm Gunnar Gatula, I'm looking at the same thing I'm looking at. Nowhere. Not better than this. Because, yes, just because you get a guy out of the portal doesn't maybe mean that he's better than what you got. So what if I'm Gunnar Gatula, my approach is this, and George Fitzpatrick is number 57 at the offensive tackle position, 6'6", 313. That's the only guy in the top up that hasn't – now, that's because he just played a national championship. Yeah. That doesn't have a place to go, and you know, we'll see where he ends up. But if I'm Gunnar Gatula, I'm looking at it like it doesn't matter what position that you put me at, I'm going to win it, right tackle or left tackle. If you want Pritchard at left tackle, I'll go to right. If you want him at right tackle, I'll just keep locking down left. But I got to get better. I can't – the mindset has to change, and I'm not saying this is actually for any player that's on this roster. That's actually, matter of fact, including the new guys, the mindset cannot be I'm grandfathered in or I'm circumstanced into a starting spot. So that means I'm good. Mm-hmm. That's got to get out of there. This is fourth and one. You're not literally do or die, but this is a different mindset right now. If you want to get to where everybody says they want to get to.
And I think Gunnar Gatula has a couple good role models on that line of what that looks like, right? Justin Evans wasn't a starter until someone went down with an injury. He steps into the lineup. He's been in there pretty much ever since. Henry Lutofsky, think about his journey, right? A guy from the Midwest that Nebraska was pretty high on, didn't really see the field much at all. And then he's kind of in a battle for his position there at right guard. He's in the lineup. He's out of the lineup. Kind of getting moved around. And then this last year finally has an opportunity, takes advantage of it. I can see a lot of that for Gunnar Gatula as well. Like, he wasn't expected to be on the field this year.
No,
he wasn't the first string left tackle. Wasn't the second string left tackle. He was option number three.
Yeah.
He was only thrown into the fire because they didn't have any options. So remember where you came from, remember your timeline, and then try to accelerate it.
Yeah. I mean, because they didn't have confidence in you in the beginning, they had to have some to keep you out there and start. And you did some good things. But then also realize you have to get better as everybody else. He's no different than Dylan. He's no different than Emmett. He's no different than all the receivers came in. He's no different than, you know, any tight end that we have. He's no different than anybody on defense. He's no different than Vincent Shavers. And when you think about it, you got to get better and you got to prove yourself. Because all the players that we're talking about, and obviously Dylan started every game, so Dylan's a little bit farther along the path, this path. But just think about it. All those players, whether it's Barney, and even though Barney played a big factor in all the games, but still, to do it at the magnitude that you need and want and say, and we expect you to in year two and three moving forward, and in particular year two, everybody's in the same position. Everybody has to get tons better. Everybody has to get bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody has to have a different mentality. Because if you think you're going to have this, and I'm not saying that they do, but if you have the same mentality as you had the year before, then you're going to get it at the maximum, the same results, and maybe less than, and then you're going to live with a lot of regret. You have to amp it up.
Yeah.
You have to get better. You have to look at yourself on tape and see where you can get better.
Because what you did this year was 6-6. That's not going to be enough.
It's in little bits and pieces. You got thrown in there and you admirably stepped in. Now you are a starter. Now, if I'm a defensive line coach, I'm actually game planning for you. So it's a totally different mindset. you have to also, you have to essentially train against the what if, or what are my weaknesses? And then you got to remedy those. And you, so you're constantly, now you're in the chase, you're chasing the ghost mode that you're not going to catch. And that's different. Where you were wanting to go from third string, or you went from third string to second. Okay, I might get in on field goal, you know, in extra point. Well, Turner goes down, I'm in.
Game time.
Right. So now, so that was the peak. I just want to get on the field. I want to play. And maybe it would have been just like in mop-up duty. Now you're starting. Everybody got to get better. It's even as simple as Letosky had done, you know, he was injured or hurt, and then he stepped in, got the chance. Obviously when Mazzucca had his situation, but then he started to prepare well and started to play well. Well, then you played at a pretty high level, right? And you probably wanted some, like, maybe individual accolades. Well, okay. Well, then prove it. Prove it. Show me again. Because anybody can do it, like, one or a couple times. Can you do it long-term? Because what you, if you continue along that process to continue to prove yourself and raise expectations and then meet them and then raise them again and then meet them, well, then that's just going to go through your whole locker room and everybody's going to step up, because you will not want anybody else to not prepare or be as focused or driven, and more importantly, as committed than you, because then it will just, it will anger you, and then that will be the good peer pressure.
And that's where, I think there's another example in that room, and it's maybe not the best comparison, so stop me if I'm saying something insensitive or wrong, but Teddy Prochazka, right? Anointed as the next answer at left tackle, had a game and a half of good play, maybe a few games. And then, of course, is the injuries with Teddy, more so than anything performance-related. And wish the best for him as he recovers and tries to figure out, you know, what's next for him in or out of football. But how many guys, Jay, have we seen come through Nebraska, had a good game, you know, a good month, maybe even a good season, and then plateau and not get better?
It's
and
hard.
If you're not getting better individually, regardless of if you're, you know, the starting quarterback or the 18th string, you know, left cornerback, whatever you are on the roster, if you're not individually getting better, how is the team supposed to get better, right? That's how the team gets better, is all these individuals get better alongside one another.
Yeah, you don't want to be, like, left behind or everybody's starting to progress and you kind of stay pat and you're not able. That's where the consistency comes from. Because in order to get better overall, you'll be putting in consistent work day in and day out. And so that's a hard thing for any player to do, let alone a young player or a young player as far as playing time on the field, where you get some success and you constantly go back to that. You constantly think, and nobody wants to think about the time that you got beaten one-on-one coverage,
right?
But you have to embrace it. But that's got to be your driving force, not the pats on the back, but the side eyes that you were getting when you messed up or busted a coverage. Or better yet, you want to be a dominant player. You don't want to be just a guy. You don't want to blend in. You don't want to be a, you don't want to, I mean, when I say this, when you're an offensive lineman, you want to blend in because you don't want to stick out because you're so bad. But you don't want to be just a guy where it's like, I can put anybody in there and just be average.
And that's, I think, the next step of growth for Gunnar Gatula that we'll start to see here throughout spring ball. And hopefully that carries over, right? When you think about that mindset shift, that mentality shift, I can understand the human reaction of Gunnar Gatula of getting thrown in there for his first action, even in practice, right? I'm going up against Ty Robinson quite a bit of the time, Jamari Butler here and there, Prince Willumon Miel and guys like that that have pretty good pedigrees and have made some plays in college. Now, who's coming in? Probably going to be Williams Nwarney is the guy that's going to go up against Gunnar Gatula quite a bit in practice. Cam Lenhart, again, maybe on that side of the line. Other guys I don't want to discount. But I think for Gunnar Gatula, too, if you're not lining up against NFL draft pick Ty Robinson every day, your mindset, especially with another year of seasoning, can go from how do I hold my own, how do I do my job, to how do I dominate the guy across from me? Because I've had a year of reps. I'm confident in my abilities. I'm bigger, faster, stronger, older. Now I'm setting the terms of engagement instead of the guy across from me.
Yeah, man, you can take it and run with it, man, where you got to think you could, you know, really lay a foundation for you at left tackle for the next 2 years at least, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there's a difference between thinking and knowing and, you know, going through the motions or going through a play, thinking that you did it well versus knowing it, and then you're working on the little intricacies to get better. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the approach, but then also it's full competition mode. And yeah, I know there's some guys that probably obviously got, you know, nice little, you know, paychecks and stuff like that, but ultimately you're battling yourself in this day and age of 105. You can't get comfortable. No. It used to be in the Big Ten, you know, once you sign, you know, and you're on scholarship, it's 3 or 4 years. It could be as little as 3 or 4 months. You come here and you act like a knucklehead. You'd be like old buddy from Washington, look back in the portal and trying to figure out what the next step is. And so more competition, the better. But then also it's going to really, you know, show where guys can really, really step up. And you know what? You might get some diamonds in the rough. You like to have, ideally, I think Nebraska would like to get to where they're at a place where legitimately they're like Ohio State, where you want to retain your guys, you're really good players, not overpay them. I mean, obviously, if you have to step up and match an offer, but have guys that are believing what you're doing, understanding the big picture, understanding that they potentially could not only make money, obviously, here, in which they obviously always get well compensated, but then also you're setting a foundation for the future, that when you win, everybody wins. And that's one thing that's really, really interesting. And this is why I was caution the fans. And this from personal experience, and I remember learning this, and says, winners focus on winning. Losers focus on winners. You can dive into that. We could be on here for 4 hours talking about it. And really what I'm saying is when you focus on your business and winning, you're not worrying about how Indiana was able to bring 17 guys, because we've seen the flip side of Mel Tucker in the second year after his transfer portal year led to his downfall, which obviously, you know, wasn't, you know, particularly, you know, apples to apples, but it wasn't the same transfer portal class.
Right.
So, and heck, you could even look on the opposite side. I would say take out Travis Hunter, Shador, Shiloh, in Horn up there in Colorado. Their first year of transfer portal class wasn't as good as this last year, because they got two NFL receivers and some really good, actually legitimate offensive linemen in the second year for Deion and the staff up there. So, which led to more on the field success, probably a difference in mentality and the learning experience in that first year. So anyways, the next thing we got here is we'll flip to the NFL. We got playoffs and we'll dive into it for more on Thursday and Friday. But my man, Mel Kiper, came out with his first mock draft. And you know, we got the news that Fedoni's going to be down at the Senior Bowl. I think Ty Robinson's going to be at the Senior Bowl. We got a host of other guys at different bowl games. I think they're both in the same boat. I think, obviously, Ty, I think, is going to be able to go pretty decently high based on defensive line in Ty's skill set will go well. I think he'll test out well. 6'6" and 300-something pounds. He's going to be strong as an ox. And I'm sure he'll show well down at the Senior Bowl. And then on the flip side, the look test, you got Fedoni, and it's a good chance for him to go down there in a neutral environment and really, really showcase his skills and make some money. I mean, you know, I know he can catch. Obviously, I think he can catch decently. But if you show the ability to run routes and really show that you're a willing blocker, you'll see him start to, you know, get onto some draft boards, because I think he's 2 years since he's had any type of last, you know, really, you know, significant injury. So that won't hold him back. But so two guys to keep an eye on as far as the draft goes. Now to this. Mel Kiper. Remember when the GM for the Colts said, who the hell is Mel Kiper?
Who the hell is Mel Kiper? Oh, yeah.
Mel Kiper. Mm-hmm. Well, Mel Kiper's the dude that's been doing the draft forever. I'm not a big fan of Mel Kiper. He tried to say that Corey Moore was going to come and start over me.
Got him.
Didn't happen, Mel. But Mel,
but aren't you grateful to him for that?
Am I grateful for him?
Yeah. He motivated you.
He was
a hater. You can point him out in your Hall of Fame speech.
I ain't going to that Hall of Fame. I was not really worried about it because I knew Corey was strictly a pass rusher, but that just lets you know. I will tell you this about the draft. That's let you know how lazy he was. Now they were trying to put him in a position, but he didn't have the experience. And I'd played well. I was fine. Now I was motivated by it, but I didn't lose any sleep because I was very secure in what I was doing. But interesting here, though, Tennessee Titans, who has a new GM, said they would not pass up on drafting a franchise quarterback, a generational talent. Mel Kiper got Cam Ward going number one.
Woo!
I don't know if he's generational now. Mm. He cold blooded.
Mm-hmm.
Will Levis is not too happy. Will Levis, I'm gonna tell you one thing about Will Levis.
Mr. Mayonnaise.
Will Levis, man. If there ever was a bro quarterback, it's him.
Mr. Mayo and my coffee.
Mayo and my coffee.
Banana with the peel.
Yeah, and then he had the girl that he was with and that situation, and then his reaction to get drafted. I mean, it was sus.
Shaky.
He was suspect. And then, he had some success. His big thing was that he looked like all he does is arm curls. He got big old arms and stuff. Hadn't led to any accuracy. And Cam Ward's probably going to come in there and be the day one starter.
How about that?
And speaking of blending in.
Who's Cam Ward's number one NFL comp? Who does he remind you of in his play style?
I would say Pocket Hercules. But I would say Caleb Williams.
I like it. I think Kyler's a little more mobile in terms of design quarterback runs.
Yeah. But I think Cam Ward's a little bit more mentally tough than Caleb Williams. I think he has he has better true leadership skills.
Okay.
That's just my feeling. And I just think
he gets the Miami seal of approval. That's why, right?
Yeah. If he did it down there, you could do it anywhere. But I just think that from where he came,
mm-hmm.
word, to Washington State, to Miami, everywhere he's been, he's done it.
I think he's beat the system quarterback allegations.
Right. And he's gotten better. And everywhere he's been, he's elevated the program. That lets me know he can go mm-hmm. somewhere and bring guys along. He's all business when it comes to football. Football's first in his life. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want as a quarterback. And then also, I think he is a never give up. I think you're never out of a game with him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how big was Miami down in some of these games? Yeah,
which is
different.
That's the reason why they got a new defensive coordinator. Number two is Travis Hunter going to Cleveland. I think that's a great place for Travis.
Put him at quarterback.
You can put him at quarterback, running back, whatever you want. But I think it's good for Cleveland to get a great player. Mm-hmm. A phenomenal like locker room guy because he doesn't want to do anything besides play football, and I think he's very marketable, which you already seen. Cool.
Yeah.
So I think then that takes the whole Deshaun Watson thing and any other thing that they do in quarterback, or if they do some sort of trade, that'd be great. And I'm gonna tell you who I would trade for if it was Cleveland. Russell.
Interesting.
Russell or Justin Fields. Actually, I'd probably.
Well, Fields is a free agent.
I would try to get Justin Fields. Local kid. I don't have some ties. Yeah. You could probably pay him decently amount, and I would have Jameis.
Yeah.
And then I would let the insurance company take care of Deshaun Watson.
Have Ryan Day on speed dial if you have anything about Justin Fields or something.
Well, it's the fans keep losing. Ryan, hey, you remember how they disrespected you when you lost to Michigan? We love you up here.
We do.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I can see it.
And then number three, which I think Deion would let this happen, is Shedeur Sanders going to the Giants. Because no matter how bad they are first class in ownership.
Yeah.
And they always have been.
Joe Shane aside.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll be gone by the time he gets there, or by the time, Shedeur starts to play. He probably won't. He'll probably start day one. But Joe Shane would probably Joe Shane would get some job security if he drafts him. See? I actually did it. He'd probably say, just ask your 13-year-old kid.
should I draft you or should I not?
Well, his kid told him to draft Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Listen to your kid.
Why not?
Well, if you're Woody Johnson, it don't work. Anyways. So, and then number...
That's the same market, too.
And you're supposed to be the uppity ones, the smarter ones. Number four, we'll just do top five, is New England taking Abdul Carter, which I think works great with Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
And then number five, this dude right here essentially won the game in the game, Michigan defensive tackle, Mason Grant. He's a dude.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. Also, before we go to break, I want to give a shout-out to my man, Aaron Glenn.
How about
Aaron
that?
Glenn is going to be the Jets head coach. I thought he was going to be the Saints head coach. Aaron Glenn is a first-class dude. Competitive. Listen, all the 5'9", tough, hold you accountable. He was one of the only I'm going to tell you this. He's the only DB. Well, Antoine Winfield didn't say anything. So Aaron Glenn is the only DB that could come in and command a room and hold defensive line accountable. When we were in a defensive meeting, and we had one in particular high-priced defensive tackle, that was out of shape and was lazy. When I tell you Aaron Glenn kicked all the coaches out and gave him the business and challenged that man, I was like, yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. I run through a wall for Aaron Glenn. That dude loves football. He knows football. He's a great communicator. He will leave no stone unturned, man. And he's a tough minded dude, man. And to play that long and to be that successful, and also what he does off the field for a lot of people too is pretty special. He was a big, you know, influence on me. Just for, you know, I was able to watch him from afar. He's a funny dude too. He'll crack on you too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. We're gonna take a quick break. Come back. I'll tell you a funny story about Aaron Glenn. When me and this dude was fighting during the game, and he was just laughing at me the whole time, and told me I need to grow. He's like, I'll tell you right now. I was getting into it with this guy, Kevin. His name is Kevin Fournette, guard from Atlanta. Me and him it was a whole like half. Ooh. He came up to me at halftime. I was eating these oranges and stuff. He's like, you need to. He slapped it out. He slapped the orange out of my hand. Right. He's like, you need to grow up. He's like, you need to grow. He's like, you're acting like a little boy right now. And I was like, what? He's like, I've been watching you for two quarters. He's like, grow up. You're supposed to be a leader. And then bounce. And I was like, all right, I'll get it together. Anyways, well, we need to get together to get the break. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook,